Well, hi, loves. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Grace.
I'm Haley.
And this is T2, a Christian woman's podcast whose focus is studying and staying in God's Word with the goal of advancing our lives to teaching His truth.
All right. In this episode, we have another special guest. She is the spark of Titus 2 Ministries, otherwise known as T2 Ministries here at Choctaw. And she has the most craftiest genes, and by genes we mean genetics, but I do not doubt if she has come crafted genes as in pants, too. For she spreads her love by creating handmade cards and shares the ability to create with others. She has been married to her husband for 4 decades, and she has a passion.
That's amazing.
Yes. She has a passion for teaching the younger girls and young adult women about choosing their future husbands wisely and how to love them as well. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Miss Laura.
Woo! What's good, Miss Laura?
The Lord's really blessed me.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. All right, Miss Laura, tell us about yourself.
Well, like you said, well, actually, Chuck and I will celebrate our 45th anniversary.
Amen.
This summer. We've got 2 children, Lindsay's our oldest daughter, and Clayton. We got 2 granddaughters. We've got Charlie, who's 8 years old and keeps us smiling all the time. And then we have little Ellie, who's in heaven already with Jesus. So.
All right. Titus 2 Ministries. Where did that come from? Why did you start it?
Okay, well, go back to your intro. I don't know about being the spark of Titus 2 Ministries, but I was there when it started. It was like 2011, and my mother had passed away. She had suffered from Alzheimer's for several years, and Chuck and I had been real involved with her care. She had passed away. Our kids were both grown, but we didn't have any grandkids yet, and I just was at this place in my life that I felt I needed to do more. And so I went to the elders and asked them if I could start an official women's ministry. We'd been having ladies' Bible classes for a while, and we'd had some fellowship events, but I wanted something structured, something we could build on. And so we started out by forming a committee, and at that time, I had to go back and research in my notes. But we had Jeannie Johnson and Judy Van Curen, and they kind of represented the older women, or the, like Judy's husband at the time was an elder, Jeannie's husband was a deacon, so they represented those mature ladies. And then Robin Erskine was on the committee, and she represented the women with school-age children, that period of your life. And then Carolyn Christensen was representing young wives, young mothers. She had, you know, maybe like her oldest, maybe her oldest two at that time. And it was Carolyn Christensen who gave us the name Titus 2, who came up with that. So that started back then. But we decided that the first thing we needed to do was we had a ladies' day. And in that, we decided we'd showcase all the different women's ministries that we had here at Choctaw, and there were 11.
Wow.
I can remember being amazed that we had 11 different ministries going on at that time. Then it was in 2015. I was the church secretary at the time. And we got some material in the mail, and it was about a program called Heartfelt Friends. And it was started by Joneil Kirby, Dr. Joneil Kirby. She's a licensed counselor, Christian counselor. But they had developed this program. They'd had it going for 10 years or so by that time. But it was mentoring. It was the older women mentoring the younger women, but they did it in their homes. So instead of a setting like ladies' class or something, you had a once-a-month meeting, and you had the same set of girls each month for like a year's period. And you met in your homes, and the intent was to show the characteristics of Titus 2, 3 through 5, hospitality, loving your families, you know, teaching what is good.
Yeah.
submission. You know, we touched on all those hard topics, and it was a wonderful time. It was a wonderful time. But we had Judy Van Kuren and I went to a workshop that Jonell Kirby had on Heartfelt Friends, and then we came back and we presented it to the ladies, and we had a great, great response from the older ladies wanting to do that. So we set it up, and was well received, and then went really well until COVID kind of, you know, knocked a loop in that. But at that same time, you know, we enlarged our committee, and we started having really big ladies conferences. Like, we would have them overnight conferences, Tina's been to some, but we had where we'd go spend the night, you know, have a hotel setting and have guest speakers come in.
That's so fun.
So we did that for a long time. I mean, up until now. You know, that's kind of what we've been doing. Still haven't had, not as many ladies classes, but we still have at least one retreat. Did you get to go to...
I did not. Yeah. I think I didn't know about it in time to ask off for work.
Oh, okay.
But I will definitely be there this year.
Okay.
So, good. But I saw a lot of pictures and it looked like a lot of fun.
It was when you were there, weren't you, Grace?
I was
I was thinking you were there.
No, also a work endeavor. I couldn't get off.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you went to the Fill Your Cup retreat.
Yes.
That's the one I was thinking.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
It ended up being the same weekend as,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we always have a wonderful time. So
yes.
We'll continue having those. So there's always next time.
Lord willing, because it is a blessing, I know, to all the ladies that Ben and I ask them about it. It definitely fills up their cup. I know, mixing ministries here.
Well, that's okay.
But it definitely fills them up, and it helps them also build the relationships within the church.
Mm-hmm. Well, in between the generations. Mm-hmm. And that's what Titus 2 is all about, is... building those relationships between the generations.
Yes, and speaking of building relationships and building, you started off another ministry called Titus 2 Connections. Tell us more about that.
Once a month, second Tuesday of each month, 1 to 3, anybody that wants to come is welcome to come. We meet here in the Titus 2 room, and we call, make phone calls to all the shut-ins, the ladies. And it's strictly a women to women. I mean, we call the women shut-ins and try to visit with them and let them know. And they really appreciate it.
Yeah.
They really do.
I can imagine.
And then we send cards to, we send cards to all the shut-ins, but we send to the widows. We then send to anybody. It's not, it's different from the card ministry that Emily Gatewood runs. This one, we're looking for people who maybe have not attended in a while, or just that we know have things going on in their lives that they could just use some encouragement. And so that's what that is, just about encouragement.
Love it. So speaking of encouragement, you had a great topic on encouraging young wives to love their husbands. In this case, young women wisely choosing their husbands and to learn to love them well. So this is your time to teach us, educate us, because we're young women. We don't have husbands yet. We don't have children yet. And you've experienced it. Yeah. Feed us.
So this is her teaching us everything she taught those girls.
Well, now I don't know about that, and there's no way. Y'all got 45 years experience.
Yeah.
But Tina Pinot leads the younger girls in... Out of Eden class, and so this year their theme was Titus 2, 3 through 5, which happens to be what Titus 2 is all about, and so she let me pick the topic that I would like to teach, and that's what I chose, was loving your families. And when I prepared for it, I realized that teaching your children, loving your children's easy. I mean, to me, loving your children was easy. Loving your husband's a little bit harder, a little bit more complicated. But we started out, I was going to specifically tell you, my scripture was Titus 2, verse 4, which is teach what is good and so train the younger women to love their husbands and children. For your children, you just teach them the love of God, mm-hmm. you know, and to love God. Bring them to church. I mean, the things that they absorb from the other Christians mm-hmm. in that kind of atmosphere, mm-hmm. you can teach them, and your responsibility is to teach them at home. Mm-hmm. But they get so much more when they're in Bible classes from an early age. Mm-hmm. And then you need to give them an example of what a loving right. relationship is. Mm-hmm. You know, your husband needs to be, that's the first father mm-hmm. yeah. image that they have. Mm-hmm. And so they need to have a good fatherly mm-hmm. image to help develop that mm-hmm. that image with God. But the majority of that class was spent mm-hmm. on husbands. Mm-hmm. And so anytime I teach a class, I like to start out with the foundational verse of 2 Timothy 3:16-17, mm-hmm. which is, all scripture is God-breathed, mm-hmm. useful for teaching, rebuking, and correction, and training in righteousness, so that the name of God will be glorified. Mm-hmm. You have to set that groundwork right off the bat, mm-hmm. that God's word mm-hmm. is truth. Mm-hmm. Especially in the difficult subjects. In ladies' mm-hmm. classes that I've taught through the years, especially like on submission or on, you know, there's areas, but you have to establish that groundwork. Right. God's word is the basis
yes.
for what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. So, We spend our time, a lot of our time, talking about their future husbands. These were teenage girls. Yeah. So I focused on yeah. your future husband, yeah. what you should look like, mm-hmm. what you should look for now mm-hmm. in that. So I brought a little example for you, Lucky. Since you weren't there, I'll just give you a little speech. Mm-hmm. When I was in my early 20s, this was my idea of the perfect man. He's cute. He's tan. Look. Oh, oops, he doesn't have his mustache on. He has this wonderful Tom Selleck mustache. It's just wonderful. But anyway, sorry.
So wonderful. It knocked the notes out of her hand. Yeah. It was so good.
Anyway, he's so cute. And if there's something that you don't like about him, you just change it. Just like that. I'll take off his nose and put his mustache on, or I'll take his mustache off, you know? Well, I'll let you know. It's a lot easier said than done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Charlie's been playing with Mr. Potato Head. Here's his mustache. No. I thought that was his mustache. But see, you can change it. You can turn it around.
Yeah, upside down.
That can be his mustache.
A mustache above his nose.
Yeah. Like I said, it's easier said than done.
Right. This reminds me of the whole topic. Reminds me of that song, Dear Future Husband, by Meghan Trainor.
Yeah. See, I don't know that song.
Really? No. You don't? It's like, Dear Future Husband, here's a few things you need to know if you want to be my one and only all my life.
Oh,
it has
good.
Like a shoebox. And
so what are they?
What was that?
What are the things that she thinks they
she
need to
says,
know?
She says, like, Dear Future Husband, I'm not going to... Well, it's very, like, new age, where it's like, I'm not going to be home baking up a pie for you. I don't know how to cook or something like
well,
that.
Well, the reason I ask is, we'll get into that later. Because that's the kind of the wife that I was.
Yes.
When Chuck and I got married.
Right. And that's, yeah. that's what, how the song kind of goes, is like... Here's some things that I do. Here's some things that you need to do. And it's like, if you want to be my one and only all my life.
Yes.
This is all the things you gotta be and do. Mm-hmm. That's what it reminds me of.
She needs to come to this class.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. Let's hit up Meghan Trainor.
I don't even know who makes up Meghan Trainor, whoever you are.
Oh my gosh.
Well, speaking of going back to scripture, going to the foundational.
Yeah. There we go.
Sorry.
No, don't be apologized. We got it in there. What does God's word say about the purpose or role of being a wife?
In Genesis 2:18, scripture tells us Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Mm-hmm. The Hebrew word for helper there is Ezer. That's the way I'm pronouncing it anyway. There's no evidence any place that that word means that women are inferior to men, mm-hmm. that men are superior, mm-hmm. That women are any less important. He used the word, let me make an Ezer for him. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of function. It's practical concern in anything. And you'll learn this as you're married and you go through your marriages. Somebody has to be the leader. Mm-hmm. And God, in making man first, made him the leader and then made woman to be his helper. Mm-hmm. So, God created woman especially to be man's helper or helpmate. So it's then the woman's job to be supportive. Mm-hmm. And I use the example, my husband and I went into business for ourselves in 2007. He'd worked in the corporate world, and I had to some throughout all of our marriage. But we decided to go into business for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And Chuck knew everything there was to know about fixing heat and air, commercial heat and air systems mainly, but commercial and residential. I didn't have a clue. I still could, to this day, cannot tell you how an air conditioner works, or a heater works, or a heat pump, or, right. you know, a chiller, or any of that yeah. stuff. I knew I was very organized. I knew how to run a business somewhat, but he'll be the first one to tell you that there's no way he could have done what I did, you know, the business side of the thing. Mm-hmm. But there's no way that I could have done what he did. So it took both of us. Mm-hmm. And that's what this means. It takes both of you. Mm-hmm. One, yes, takes the lead, but the other one is right there beside them, mm-hmm. helping them, supporting them, collaborating with them, mm-hmm. you know, all that way. So, we talked in the class about the roles of husbands and wives. The longest continuous teaching on the relationship of husbands and wives in the New Testament is found in Ephesians 5, mm-hmm. 21 through 33. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we have the time to read it all. Everyone who's thinking about getting married, or even if you're already married, mm-hmm. even if you're 45 years into your marriage, everyone needs to study that passage. But verse 33 says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, mm-hmm. and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Mm-hmm. So he tells husbands to love his own wife as himself, and there's previous verses in that chapter explain that. Mm-hmm. But if you go on the, you know, they call it the love chapter of the Bible, the 1 Corinthians 13, mm-hmm. 4 through 8, will spell out specifically what love is. Mm-hmm. And I'd love for you girls to read that, and we'll discuss it. But then one of your questions was, what does that look like in this mm-hmm. day and age? And I can tell you what it looks like from my perspective. Yeah. But I think the audience needs to hear what it looks like from your perspective.
Do you want us to answer that before we go into it?
No, we can just kind of do it at the same time, maybe.
Same time?
You yeah. know, all I right. mean, we yeah. talk about it, and I'll kind of give my
yeah.
all right.
you know, view 45 years out, and you can give yours to this morning.
I can go ahead and read 4 mm-hmm. through 8. Mm-hmm. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away.
Mm-hmm.
First thing is patient and kind. Mm-hmm. I really I don't see a lot of, like, patience in this day and age. Mm. I think comparing that is, like, a lot of the time with, like, now, especially now that I'm out of high school and I'm in my 20s and things like that, it's just, like, the dating world is, like, you made me upset this one time, now I'm done. It's like, I'm out of here. Like, give up after the one problem. Yeah. I think that's not patient. Like, not giving the chance for them to, like, learn, not sitting down and having the patience to sit down and have the conversation. Like, hey, you hurt my feelings this way. How can we work through this? Instead, it's like, oh, you messed up this little tiny detail.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm hitting the door. So I think that, at least with patience, that's what I see in verse 4 that's different. It's like, there's not a lot of patience in the dating world today.
Yeah. And to build off of patience, patience in the Bible is defined as long-suffering. Mm-hmm. And when you get married, you're going to get through a lot of life circumstances.
You better be ready for some long-suffering.
Yeah.
I mean, just life.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you and your husband get along, just life is going to throw you things.
Yeah.
That you're going to need to be long suffering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's going to be, like, not even, like, two extremes. They're, like, lose your job.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Like, one day you lose your job and you need to have someone that's willing to stick through that with you and not just hit the door the second it. Mm-hmm. Second, things go wrong. So, and I think that in this day and age, we don't see that often. It's like people just give up.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
So,
kindness
is, I don't know, comparing that to, like, this day and age, I feel like people are kind. Like, I wouldn't say it's, like, in the dating world that it's, we're not kind to each other. But I don't think it's kind in the way the Bible is talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true, because when you think of kindness, you think of steadfastness, so that's steady assurance.
Yeah.
It's being kind over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
With, I think also, too, like, without wanting something back. Mm-hmm. I think in a lot in this world, it's like, what can you do for me? Mm-hmm. Instead of, like, I'm going to be nice because I want to be nice to you. It's more of, like, I'm being nice to get something out of you. I think that's what it looks like now a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. And continuing on with the verse, love does not envy or boast and is not arrogant. Mm-hmm. So, in this day and age, I think with the heightened of social media and the heightened of using those tools, because they can be great tools.
Right.
You'll see a lot of discontentment in what you already have that could be a blessing. Or, like, you see someone bragging. Probably they're not bragging. Maybe that's just, like, your own point of view. But maybe they're bragging, like, look at my nice house. Look at my nice car. Mm-hmm. Look at all these things. When the bottom line is, like, that's not love that God is talking about. And those things are very temporary. And they won't satisfy at all.
You see, unfortunately, a lot of times in younger marriages, especially today when the men and women both have careers, a lot of envy within a marriage between a husband if his wife's making more money.
Yeah.
Or a wife if her husband gets to travel and she doesn't. She has to stay home with the kids.
Right.
Or there's a lot. A lot that you could be envious of.
Yeah, it's a lot of, like, oh, you're better than me kind of idea. Like, but it's really just the way life is turned for people. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of, like, kind of what you were talking about with social media is, like, we are in such a consumer culture that, like, we always want the next best thing. We always want, like, we see someone post.
And quick.
Yeah.
We want it now.
Yeah, you don't, like, you could get, like, the newest thing, and then the next week it's going to be another thing, and then you want more and more and more. And in my college ministry class, we're actually studying about dating and relationships and things like that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what they were talking about with dating is that people are starting to do that with dating, of like the next best thing, like the second, like, oh, I'm getting tired of this person, next best thing. The next shiny person that's like brand new, the grass is always greener. And I think that all stems from consumer culture of like looking at Instagram or TikTok or whatever and seeing like, oh, this person has this thing. Oh, I want it now. Oh, I want this now. I think that's a lot of this kind of same thing of arrogance, I guess, of like, I need to have the best
and
thing.
And that will cause all kinds of strife in a marriage.
Envy, a lot of envy.
Build off of that, too, I just thought of, a lot of it could also be the built-upon idea of happiness. How, since you don't make me happy, I'm going to leave you now. Bye.
Yeah, yes.
Like person, people, items. Like, it's all a root of just, like, that unsatisfactory temporary happiness that people are trying to build off of that is really shaky sand.
People are no longer content with what they have.
Yes.
It's sad.
Yeah. So moving on to verse 5 on that one. Does not act becomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and does not take into account a wrong suffered. Those are good.
My version, it does mention irritable or resentful. I think it's a lot of, like, just kind of going off of some more verses that we will see in the next verse. It's like keeping no records of wrongdoing, like resentment. It's like a lot of the time that I've noticed, even like for myself when I've been dating someone, it's like you'll keep track of the bad things that they do. It's like, oh, they did this. Oh, they did this.
I was a pro at that.
Yeah.
In our early marriage. Oh.
Yeah. It's like, oh, they didn't hold the door open for me this one time.
Red flag.
And then they don't do it again. Oh, there goes another one. Oh, there's another one. And that's just like something so small, but like bigger things like lying or something like that, you'll hold on to that. And I've noticed that even not just myself, but like other people, is like, oh, they did this like 4 months ago, and now I like can't get past it. And I mean, there are some things that you just can't get past, like in dating, that I like, which makes sense, but again, the whole forgiveness thing, like you forgive 100
and there are
over
things
and over
that
over.
You should not get over.
Right. Like, obviously.
I mean, you should move on.
I mean, yes.
I'm
like saying things that you can go forward with, like just simple mistakes or simple, like human mistakes of like just holding on to it and keeping that baggage and holding it over their head and using it against them, even though you forgave them, but you just keep bringing it up, But that is not good.
Yeah. And I love how you put, quote unquote, forgiving, because if you keep bringing it up, you really haven't forgave.
No. Yeah. I've been going to Oakdale for a while, and we just finished a whole series about forgiving. And it talked a lot about, like, forgiveness isn't forgetting it. It's just not holding it over their head anymore. It's not bringing it up all the time. It's not letting it weigh you down, be a black cloud over your head for the rest of your life. It's just letting it be. You don't have to reconcile. You don't have to. Like, that's not forced. It's just be kind and respectful to the person, even if they don't ask for the forgiveness.
And that's hard.
Yeah. It's harder but than it's harder to do
when
than
they
to
don't
say
add,
it.
Yes. Yes. But it's very what God important. Wants us to do.
Yeah. You know?
A lot of things are hard that God wants us to do.
Best part is, like, he set that example so you know it's not impossible.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. He prepares us to do it. It's just if we're willing to do it.
That's it. Willing to put in the hard work.
Right.
Yeah. In verse 6, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. So, does not rejoice in unrighteousness. I think of does not rejoice in ungodliness. Things that are not good or pure. Like from Philippians, I believe it's 4. The things that you think about where it says, Here, I'm going to turn to it.
Whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is holy. Yeah, think all these things.
Yeah, that's how I think of godliness, just like that sweet, pure holiness. And then rejoices with the truth, it seeks and applies the truth. Again, harder said than done. But if you're seeking to grow in that, not perfectly, but faithfully, there is thrivingness through it.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's like not rewarding bad behavior is what I immediately think of. Yeah. It's like if your significant other or like your husband or wife are out doing things that they shouldn't be doing, don't be like letting it happen. Yeah. Don't let it slide, because that's not love. At T3 in the Love and Fear, was it?
Yes.
We talked about how in like church, if just as an example, if you see someone on their phone during like communion or something like that, you want to like respectfully tell them like, hey, this is a very important time for you to be paying attention. You're not doing that because you're upset with them, doing that out of love and fear for them, because you want them to get everything out of it. And that's what, exactly what I think of in that. It's like love and fear. Like, you love the person, so you don't want to let them be unrighteous or let them go down the wrong path, even if
that's a good example you of rejoicing in the truth. There's so many times in our marriage, Chuck is so much more patient, but he's so to be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, that he will correct me on something, and he's right. And instead of getting my feelings hurt, being upset, I need to rejoice that he cares enough about me to give me the truth.
So. I honestly, I feel like I need to be better at that personally. Like, whenever I get corrected, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, well, don't, leave me alone. I think I need to be better at, like,
that's the human side of you.
I'm like, I need to be like, okay, they're just doing it because they care about me, instead of just like getting immediately defensive or something like that. I think that's something I need to work on personally.
And if it's the truth.
Yes. Of course, if it's like something good instead of like their own opinion or something like that. But I think that's something personally I have to work on.
All of us.
Yes.
We do.
I think it also, like you said, when it's someone that loves you and knows you best, it may sting, but you know that their intention was, I love you so much that I want what's best for you.
Exactly.
All right. Verse 7. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. There's a lot of all in there.
Yes.
And a lot of things that just remind me of steadfastness. And we talked about earlier how life circumstances happen. So it's like being faithful in the storms of life. You bear it, you believe, you hope, and you endure. It's a lot.
Yeah, I think of, I don't know what verse specifically, but it like, bear one another's burdens.
Yes. Galatians.
I really enjoy that, because that's exactly like what it's telling us to do right here. It's like... in hardships, lean on your, like, lean on your husband or your wife, significant other. You can lean on that person, and they're going to bear that burden with you. Not take it on as their own, but, like, be there with you and just, like, help you through it, give you advice, love you through it all, and just...
Those are the things that make for an extremely strong marriage. The good times are great.
Yes.
But the things that are going to build your strength in a marriage are getting through. Those being steadfast in those difficult times. Yes. And it's worth it. It's well worth it.
The verse you mentioned is Galatians 6, verse 2, and it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Yeah.
And the law of Christ is summed up as love God, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes.
So that's powerful. And mm-hmm. it also reminded me of, when you said together, it reminded me of Ecclesiastes. I think it's verse 4 or verse 3 where it talks about a cord of three strands cannot mm-hmm. be undone. Mm-hmm. It talks about the two, where you were taking care of each other, husband and wife, mm-hmm. going there, but a cord of three, so making sure God is intertwined
God is
there.
In there. Yes.
You can't undo
yes.
it as easily.
I like that. I like that. Mm-hmm. It's really mm-hmm. good.
All right, verse 8, never fails.
Till death do you part.
Till death do you part. Also,
I do like that. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't give up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a true covenant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like a blood covenant, but in a way,
yes.
it. Mm-hmm. We can go to another topic on that one.
That's a whole nother class.
whole nother thing. But it is a true covenant. I think something that we miss out today in society is that we don't treat it as a covenant. Mm-hmm. We treat it as a certificate that can be cut.
That's so true. Way. That's yes. the way it was in my day. I mean, mm-hmm. in my younger years. I know.
Yeah. I feel like my coworkers that I work with, they treat it as just like, you need to test it out before you get married. Mm-hmm. Like the whole living together mm-hmm. from before marriage. Mm-hmm. There was one of my coworkers, they were talking about like their boyfriends, because it was Valentine's Day, and they were just talking about it. And they were like, make sure you move in with your boyfriend before you get married so you mm-hmm. know what he's like. And I was like, actually, no.
I've forgotten now what the percentage is of couples that live together before they get married mm-hmm. actually divorce. Getting married, and it's it's that's not a good plan.
It gives you kind of just like a way out.
Mm-hmm. It does,
and
that's easy way out.
And yes, and that's not how we're supposed to do like a covenant. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be a covenant where there is no way out.
Mm-hmm. And you need to remember, this was something I didn't realize, but you need to remember that it's a covenant with God.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Not,
it's a covenant, yes, between you and your husband, mm-hmm. but it's with God.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not just with a, like, it's, yes, it's with some man that you met on earth, but, mm-hmm. like, with God, the creator of the universe, mm-hmm. You are not only marrying the man, mm-hmm. but you're marrying God.
Yeah.
Like, there's
he's the third person in your marriage, or he
yeah.
should be.
He should be, yes. So, I think in this day and age, it's not a never ends kind of thing. It's not a death do you part. It's like, we'll try it out, mm-hmm. see what happens, and if not, then, okay, we'll try again with another person.
Yeah.
Move on, cut the paper in half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or something like that. And I just don't think marriage is valued as much these days. It's not a high value thing.
Yeah.
In that Sacred Search book that you and I have read, it talks about how marriage should be the closest thing we would feel to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not how people see marriage today. It's it's a burden almost. Mm-hmm. Like all the bachelor, bachelorette things. It's like you're one last night of freedom. And it's
right.
like this is not how you're supposed to treat marriage.
No.
Like
yeah.
It's supposed to be the start of your journey, the mm-hmm. start of your life, and mm-hmm. your start of like building with one another, your partnership, and that's just not how we see it today.
Yeah,
but it's heartbreaking, honestly.
That reminds me of something you mentioned. It I was like, oh, that reminds me. I listened to a podcast about boundaries. How this couple set beautiful boundaries while dating, mm-hmm. so that when they're married, they're absolutely giddy. They're like, oh, we're married. You know, like, it's
yes.
so exciting.
Yes.
And they went to their friend's wedding who didn't practice those boundaries, because mm-hmm. everybody has their choice. But they're like, so what does it feel like? Are you guys so giddy and excited? Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, it just feels like we signed a paper. It feels like we've already been married. We just signed a paper. Mm-hmm. And they were so sad.
Yeah.
And it does sound sad. Mm-hmm. Like, oh.
It takes away the joy of being in a marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It does.
So. Mm-hmm. It all needs to be on like a higher value, and I think that's a lot of where the divorce rates come from, because it's like we don't value our marriages anymore. Mm-hmm. They're just a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
piece of paper that can get ripped in half.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so sad. And so you mentioned this with the girls, that it is absolutely vital to get it right from the start.
That's just what I was thinking. You girls are teaching the lesson right here. I mean, it's so much easier if you do it God's way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you get it right.
Yeah.
Yes.
From the start.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
I get that 100%. Yep. I think we read that Sacred Search book, and it's all about, what was the quote from the book?
It's not about who you date, but why.
Yeah, who you date, but why.
Yeah, it's
and
a good one.
It was really good.
And what is the name of the book?
Sacred Search.
Mm-hmm. Sacred Search.
It's all about preparing yourself and then knowing what to look for in a marriage.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it is an amazing book. I have yet to finish it, to be honest with you. I have not finished it yet. But I am pretty much to the end, and it is really helpful to kind of set kind of a foundation of what you need to search for in a marriage and a significant other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it was eye-opening for me. It really was.
Wonderful. Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. We went, we would go and study with friends and answer the questions together for a while.
Yeah.
And it was very, like, we talked about it, about how, like, eye-opening it was. And it was like a wake-up call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you need one.
Mm-hmm. Because not
I mean, we all do.
We
before
do.
Marriage is
serious.
A commitment.
Yeah.
It's serious. And it should be. Till death do us part. And so that's huge.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, other than your relationship with Christ, it's the most important, and it's going to last, hopefully.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed that the book didn't only mention, like, what you look for, but how to prepare yourself.
Yes.
Like, how to be a good,
that's
a good
huge.
Partner in a marriage with your husband or your wife.
Yeah.
It didn't just say, like, oh, they need to check all these boxes, but you need to check these boxes too.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was amazing for me. Because I think whenever I started reading that book, I was all like, what do I need to look for? What do I need to look for? But what do I look for myself? And it made me, like, really do a soul search.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was
that's
good
important.
Discipline.
Yeah.
That
it really was
good important.
Discipline. It was.
I remember.
I really need to sit down and, like, really finish it.
Oh, girl. And when you do the questions,
the questions. at the end of every chapter, they had, like, questions for you to, like, self-reflect.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
One of the chapters, it had you, like, list out qualities that you look for in someone. What are qualities that would make you not want to date someone?
Mm-hmm.
Or what do you look for in dating that you will look for in marriage?
Mm-hmm.
And just a bunch of questions like that. And then, like, what were some, like, really deep questions that they asked? Because those are, like, kind of surface level.
They gave some really good definitional scenarios of marriages where it was, do you remember, it was, like, one of them was, like, the good, soulful marriage, and then there was one that was, like, abusive, and then there was another one that like, the shopaholic marriage.
They had, like, a chapter where you went through, and you're like, what marriage do you want?
Yeah.
And it had, like, a scenario like, they are equally yoked, and this, and this, and then this person works too much, and this person's lazy, and it's like, which marriage do you want? And then it kind of explained, like, how to get each one of those marriages.
Well,
like, how you set up your marriage is what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I think something that stood out for me in the book was the end result of whoever you marry, that's, like you said earlier, that's the father. That is the father of children. So look at the guy and be like, will he be a good father to our children?
Yes.
Right.
Just because being in the career that I am, being in the NICU, I'm getting emotional. But seeing, like, these families that I'm like, this is not healthy for this child.
No. Yes.
And I'm praying for the child and praying for this family that they get the help they need, that the baby grows up strong and gets to know the Lord, even though I don't know if they will. But it's so...
Yeah.
Hard to see, but also pouring into the love of God and be like, help me to love this family. Help me to love this baby.
Yes.
Because I want this baby to know you and I want this family to know you.
Mm-hmm.
But it is hard to see what the world considers what is the way to go when it's not the way to go.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
And that goes back, I mean, these characteristics of love, mm-hmm. well, those are the exact characteristics you want in a father mm-hmm. of your children.
Yeah.
You know, patience, mm-hmm. kind, long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then, so it's vital to get from the start. Mm-hmm. And it's important for the husband to love their wives, but mm-hmm. it's important for us as women to respect our husbands.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean to fully respect mm-hmm. your husband?
Well, I can remember the first time I really read that passage and mm-hmm. and heard mm-hmm. that the woman is to respect her husband. Respect to a man is... that's his love language.
Mm-hmm.
But our love language is not respect. Our love, like mine, is for Chuck to do things for me, mm-hmm. to show me, mm-hmm. to tell me he loves me. Well, most men's love language is respect.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, and God knows that, you yes. know, and God knows that if we truly do respect our husband, mm-hmm. he's going to live up to that.
Yeah.
He's yes. going to continue and expand on those things
mm-hmm. yeah,
that, mm-hmm. you know, are worthy of respect.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there's, you know, there's times that that's extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I've said here, and I said to the girls, what's important there is that you pray for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I read a book several years ago. It's The Power of a Praying Wife.
Mm-hmm.
Stormy O'Mardian has written a series of books about the power of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one was The Power of a Praying Wife, and it was kind of eye-opening to me. You mm-hmm. know, you pray for your husband's faith. You mm-hmm. pray for his leadership.
Yeah.
You pray for those things, and God's going to honor that.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing that's really important is that you... pray for his wife.
Mm,
yes. Pray for yourself.
Yes.
And it's a whole nother study, but I have a little note here that, you know, Proverbs 31, 10 yes. through 31. And I know we all say that's impossible. That scripture is the ideal woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ideal woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how she was over her life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that you have to do all things, but you should do that. You should want to rise early and take mm-hmm. care of your family.
Yes.
You know, to me, that's if I get up at 8, if it's before Chuck, that's, you know, that's fine. I don't have to get up at 6 o'clock.
Just right.
get up. But, you know, things are all different in our day and time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very important that we pray for ourselves to be
yes.
the wives that our husbands.
I think that's something we talked about in our first episode was
mm-hmm.
a lot about prayer. Especially while, like, whenever we're teaching the teenage girls, they're not in an age where they could get married. We told them, like, just pray for your future
yes.
husband. Pray that he's out there doing the right thing,
mm-hmm.
like walking
mm-hmm.
and building a foundation for one day mm-hmm. you to find him and you can build off of it with him.
Mm-hmm.
And praying for yourself and just praying for that
yes.
future husband and, like, keeping that at the forefront of your prayers of,
mm-hmm.
like, I not only do I need to make sure that myself is in line, that my future husband is in line
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
It
yes.
has the same foundation
yes.
and core beliefs that I do.
Yes. yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot
get
of
get it right from the start.
Get
yes.
it right from the start.
Yes.
yes.
Yeah. And there's a lot of resources where it talks about things that you should be praying for your future husband.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think we talked about it in the first episode
yes.
too,
oh,
where
okay.
I had this book where it said 31 prayers for your future husband.
okay.
Mm-hmm. And it had different topics, different scenarios. I'm like, I wouldn't have thought of praying
that's
for this.
That's the way this was for me. It was like, oh,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
pray for his self-esteem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pray for his confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pray, yeah.
Yeah. Like things I wouldn't have. I was like, oh.
Yeah,
I am for sure now going to because
yes.
that's a wonderful thing to have when I am married and he has those qualities.
That's right.
Or if I have those qualities too for
mm-hmm.
him. And something that you mentioned about talking to others that help build them up.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 31.
Mm-hmm.
Jewish men would actually memorize this and recite it to their ladies over them during like a festival. And I forgot what the festival is called, but they call it Eshet Yael. I probably said it wrong. Sorry. but I thought that was so beautiful because you talked about saying it to someone to encourage them. Well, these Jewish men say it over their wives, and that
mm-hmm.
encourages
how wonderful.
Them.
Wonderful. I didn't
right?
know that. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Little fun.
Yes.
Little brain thing.
Yes.
So you talked wonderfully about Mr. Chuck, the love of your life. I was wondering, since you have this powerful passion of wanting young women and single ladies to, like, choose right and choose right the first time, do you mind telling us the story of how you met and y'all's background?
Yes, yes. Chuck and I both grew up going to church, but I grew up in a denomination. I mean, we mother took us to church, but basically what I heard was be a good person, do good things, you know, be good to other people. Chuck only got to attend sporadically. His mother didn't drive, and his father worked an awful lot. There were, I think, 7 children, and so we didn't have a strong Christian background. I had a very poor relationship with my father, with my earthly father. And so I had a mental list of all these things I did not want if I ever got married. I mean, it was, I wasn't really planning on getting married. But it was like, okay, he's going to have to not be these things. Yeah. And so Chuck and I met in our late 70s. And he was all those things. But I'm a product of the 60s and the 70s. I was a hippie. Well, I mean, I wasn't a California hippie. I was an Arkansas hippie. But anyway, like our theme song was I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. Y'all probably don't know the Helen Reddy song, but there'll be people out there that will know the song. I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. And I was pretty self-centered. I was probably as polar opposite of a Christian wife as you can get. It was, like I said, I was very self-centered. But because Chuck did have the characteristics of love, it worked. And he put up with a lot from me, talking about being patient, being kind, being lost. It's not that I was a bad person. I was just, I grew up in the age where I'm a woman. I do not need to submit to a man. I can do anything a man can do. I don't, you know, I don't need to do anything. And like I said, I didn't have that Christian background. I mean, my background was be a good person, do good things. And so Chuck put up with a lot from me. And so our early marriage, I won't say it was rough by any means, but it was certainly was not what it is now. Certainly. But we had our children. We moved to Choctaw to get them out of Oklahoma City Public Schools. And we realized, you know, I think they were like maybe 3 and 5 when we moved out here, and that we wanted them to grow up having Christian values. And so we started searching the area churches. But we have said had several of his family members were members of Church of Christ. And so we ended up visiting here, and we did a Bible study with Lewis Thompson. I don't know if, I don't think you weren't here at the time. I don't remember if
the name sounds Lewis was familiar. Still alive.
Well, he was the preacher before Mike Mazzalongo came.
Oh, then maybe,
Lewis. Yeah.
Maybe not.
Back in, this would have been like 1990, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, so we had a Bible study with Lewis. We were both baptized, and we dove headfirst, you know, into being Christians.
Yeah.
And in doing what God wanted for us. And like I said, it was easy for Chuck, because, but boy, it was hard. It was really hard for me. But we did it. We did it.
So what differences did you notice in your marriage before knowing Christ and after knowing Christ?
Well, you can imagine.
Yeah.
You know, we started doing things the way God wanted us to do them. Instead of, for me, instead of the way I. And it was a life change for me. God's way is always better. So we did that. We also did it with the mindset of our children. We were wanting our children to see what a loving relationship was, what a loving fatherly relationship was. So it's day and night for me.
It reminds me of that Forrest Frank song, Your Way Is Better.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Your Way Is
Better. Yes, I do know that one.
I love Forrest it's Frank's so music so much. It's so good. And I love how popular it's getting.
Yes.
Like, I hear it all over Instagram. I'm like,
Yay! Yeah.
Look at you go.
There you go.
You mentioned during the class, so you never received a talk with your mother about relationships. And looking back now, what would you want your mother to tell you?
When I said that, I didn't realize it, but what I really meant was, I wish she had told me what scripture says about marriage. I wish I had had that foundation. And as I thought about it, I realized she may have tried. And where I was at that point in my life, I wouldn't have listened. You know, I was like a lot of the young people today. I just wouldn't have listened.
Right.
But I wish I had known that. I would have saved myself a lot of heartache.
Right.
Chuck, a lot of heartache. I'm sure he'd agree. But anyway, that's what I meant.
Right.
You know, I wish I had known what God said, what God wanted me to know.
Yeah, have that woman role model to sit here and read scripture to you and tell you this is what God wants you to be and wants you to look for.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't recall ever hearing that.
Right.
You know, growing up in the church that I attended at the time.
Yeah.
And what a blessing it is to have you go to the younger girls and have that passion now.
Well, it is. It's a passion because I know. I know.
Yeah. It's always, I don't want to say like a blessing, but like it's always really, it's really helpful to have like a past like that where you know what it's like to be away from Christ and then to come back. And then now you get to go through, and you can teach younger women, you can teach young girls, like, follow Christ, because I know what it's like to not. Yeah.
Well, and that's what Titus 2 tells us older women, is that we're to teach the younger women, and you teach by telling your story. And sometimes your story's
testimony.
Hard. You know.
Teach by testimony.
But...
Reminds me of the women's class. Did you go to that at T3? Where she said, let your mess be your message because your life is fate and it's lived through. It's not a one-time thing. So let your mess be your message.
I like that.
That is really good. I like that a lot.
That's a good one.
I think that helps a lot with like younger girls or teenagers or young adults that kind of have like a messy past or something like that, to not let it reign over you. To kind of just be like, I can use this as my testimony to keep moving on and keep working and keep going. And then as I meet people, be like, I have done this, this, and this. How can I help you get to where I have gotten, where I've walked, how I've done it? Here's my experience. How can I help you? And I think it's very encouraging. I just like the mess into messages. Like that's really a good way to put it. I like that.
Because the devil, one of the devil loves to do is he wants us to remain quiet, and he doesn't want us to tell our mistakes because he has a reign over us. He's like, ha, I got this little thing on you that you probably don't want anybody else to know.
Right.
But the more that you speak about it and you encourage someone else, it actually helps build the kingdom, and he does not want that.
Yeah.
Oh, true.
Yes.
That's a good point.
So, knowing what you know now, what would you have told your younger self?
Wait to get married until you're ready to do it God's way. Basically, you know, just you don't have to get married when you graduate high school. You don't have to get married when you graduate college.
Yeah.
You don't have to. It doesn't have to be the next step in your journey.
Yeah.
It needs to be a... don't do it until you're ready to do it the right way.
Right.
You know, tell those coworkers. You know?
Yeah.
This, you know, you get yourself right first.
Yeah.
Yes. And look for a man that God wants you to be partnered with.
It reminds me, I just had a recent conversation with my daddy about this. I think it was in 2 Peter, because he asked me, he's like, Grace, you studied a while. What is the role of a husband and wife? I was like, well, they reflect Christ, as in Christ and the church. They mm-hmm. reflect that. It's a little glimpse of heaven. He's like, yeah, but what are they? I was like, in a covenant, what are they? Two sinful people, what are they? I'm like, go to the Bible, mm-hmm. Grace, come on. I was mm-hmm. like, but I'm saying it. What do you mean? He's mm-hmm. like, no, go to 1 Peter 3, verse 7. And it says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. He's like, Grace, look at the word heirs. Mm-hmm. They are your partners in this gift of eternity, partners on earth, or partners here on what we do on earth. You have the same goal, mm-hmm. you have the same direction, and mm-hmm. you have the same purpose. Mm-hmm. You're different individually, but you have the same goal, which is heaven. I was like, oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. Learn something new.
It's true.
But, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's God breathed. It's mm-hmm. true. So,
mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. We talked about that a lot in my college ministry class about, like, what are things, like, we want to look for in a significant other is, like, well, the question was, like, what is the purpose of marriage? Like, why are we getting married? Mm-hmm. Why not just stay single for the rest of your life? Mm-hmm. It was to work towards the goal with someone, to have a partnership, to lean on someone, to have mm-hmm. someone to help you along your journey and have someone to build off of. Mm-hmm.
'Cause have a helpmate.
Have a helpmate, yes. Like, the verse, Genesis 2:28, is that what it is?
2:18.
2:18, yeah. Where it's not good for a man to be alone. Mm-hmm. And it's like you need someone with you to help you along the way. Not need, like it doesn't, mm-hmm. whatever. Paul talks about singleness.
It's not good for you to do it by yourself.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I think a lot of people say this quote. I think it's true, too, where marriage doesn't make you happy, it makes you holy. Mm-hmm. Because they see the best and the worst of you, and so you both refine each other. Laura's like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I rejoice
in the truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really big thing, too. You mentioned marriage doesn't make you happy. I think that's a lot of misconception mm-hmm. now. It's like, you need to be happy all the time in your marriage. Yeah. Like, it's not going to be sunshine and rainbows every single day yeah. of your life. Like, you're going to go through hard times. You're going to mm-hmm. you're gonna not like each other sometimes, mm-hmm. but that's where love comes in. You may not like the person, but you have to love the person. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. where, like, you have to really understand the difference of yes. like and love. It's like, you have to, like, just be there and bear all things, endure mm-hmm. all things, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it is super important for young ladies, and even young men too, when we choose our husbands, their wives.
Right.
And Miss Laura, you mentioned that to choose a man you respect for his Christian attributes. Mm-hmm. And like you said, don't go into the idea that you can change the things that you don't like about him, because he's not a Mr. Potato Head.
That's right.
And you mentioned that it will be difficult if you try.
Oh, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. It might not be impossible, but it certainly would be difficult. And it's not what God wants you to do.
I think whenever I think of things that, like, you can't, like, change them, like a Mr. Potato Head, is there are things that, like, a person can change, yes. Mm-hmm. That you can, like, sit down and, like, hey, yes. here's some things mm-hmm. that yes. we should work on together. Mm-hmm. But there's also character.
Yes.
Like, there's things in people's character that mm-hmm. they just can't change. That they're just hardwired. They were raised mm-hmm. that way. Mm-hmm. But there are habits and cycles that you just can't break sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where finding and looking for that man that you want to be with for the rest of your life, you have to look at his character, not yes. like his little flaws yeah. that can change throughout life, or that things yeah. that can't be worked on. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's very true.
You yeah, have to look at character mm-hmm. over mm-hmm. like little qualities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. All right, Miss Laura, you also had another analogy involving stickers.
Oh. Okay.
We have our little queue right here.
I couldn't find big ones, but these little mystery pride they had stickers.
So you get to design
your perfect man.
We're gonna design them right now. All right, should I put it?
Well, I don't know, but do it on your thing first because my point I'm gonna make is I want you to do your ideal man, but then we're gonna try changing.
Gonna try and change it. Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah. Wait to stick him in your Bible until you.
It reminds me of Veggie Tales.
That's so funny. That's okay.
That's all right.
All right. My Mr. Potato Head has been completed.
They get the idea.
Oh, wait. No, his mustache goes Pinellas nose, doesn't it?
All right. Fun.
Hairbrush.
Okay. Now, rearranging, changing.
My only thing I could take off is his arms.
I can only take off an ear at this point.
Yeah, I can't rearrange him.
There. No. Now he's mustache.
Yay. Oh my gosh, mustache.
Mr. Potato.
It's kind of funny that the only thing I could take off was his mustache. Because you can shave a mustache.
That's true. That's easy to change.
But the rest, I can't get off. Yeah. My nails are too long to even try.
Arms were an option. I was wondering what those
armless.
Were.
Armless. It's fine.
It's fine. Character. It's about character here.
Okay. So that,
That
was our point.
You all have
made the point.
Uh-huh. Got it.
Yes.
Very well.
You cannot.
Good example.
All right.
I'll stick them where.
So I wanted to. I'm going to look at my notes now because wanted to make sure that I had stressed these things, made these points that we need to love our husbands and children the way that God wants us to, not the way we want to. I think that's a big problem in today's age. Is so many parents want to be their kids' friends, or they want their kids to have everything, or the latest, or whatever. But we need to keep in mind to do it the way God wants us to do it, not the way we want to do it. If you truly love and respect your husband, as God commands you to, your married life will be a slice of heaven. I promise you. It will be wonderful.
Just like the book talked
about.
Yes.
Loving your children will be easy. But I do want to say, sometimes it's not. You know, there's that 1% of the time that women don't have an easy time of loving their children. And if that's the case, I would plead with people to get help, to seek counseling, to talk to somebody. Because it's not... It's an imbalance of some kind. Something is off balance. And there is, most times, something that can help that.
Yeah.
So if loving your children's not easy, then seek some help from somebody. Talk to a friend. Do something.
Yeah.
But it's kind of all I have. But I want to thank you all for sharing
your
doorpost, but letting me share with you. Because you're at a critical point in your lives.
Yeah, this is and, around the age where we're searching.
You are. And, you know, when you date somebody, when you look at somebody, go back to that 1 Corinthians 13 and put their name, take out love and put their name in there. And if you can't do that, then stop. Think about it.
Yeah. I like that. I like the way, that's a good way to, like, test whenever you're in a relationship.
I do that to myself. You know, when I'm sitting there, I'm going... Yeah. Laura is patient. Laura is kind. So it's helpful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. So. I really like that, actually. I'm going to use that now.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's all I've got.
All right. Well,
thank you so much for being on the podcast, Miss Laura. I know when we started, you were like... But you did great, and I'm sure, like, we were benefited. I'm sure there's other women and men that are listening to the podcast. They will be so much benefited.
Well, I just wish that I had had this talk
Yeah,
right.
when I was young. So.
I honestly, I wish I had it
sooner.
Yeah.
Like in my teenage years, yes. like the teenage like, girls here yes. have now. Mm-hmm. It's like, I wish I heard about it instead of getting into my 20s and having this idea of, I need someone that benefits me. Benefits me, me, me. Mm-hmm. I need to be happy.
Someone needs to make me happy.
Yes, and someone needs to make me happy. Right. And that's what I went into my 20s thinking. It's like, they need to make me happy mm-hmm. instead of they need to help me on my journey to heaven.
Yes.
But I've learned a lot just mm-hmm. sitting here and talking.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. I have too.
Yes.
So thank you, girls.
I've enjoyed it. I really needed it.
Yeah. Yes, girl.
Yes.
We all
yes.
do.
Yes, we do.
We all do, even at my age.
The beauty of Titus, too.
Yes.
The beauty of Titus, too.
We do things God's way.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, y'all, this is T2 What's Good Podcast. I'm Grace.
I'm Haley.
And we hope that you guys continue to study and stay in God's Word. Bye.
Bye.
Hey. Mr. Potato.
Nick, cute.
Yeah, only things I can take off.
Someone please
we are,
keep
we
that.
We are cutting.
Keep that.
It can be in the bloopers at the very end.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh. Mm-hmm. You we have tell me there's bloopers.